All right, well, let's grab our notes and let's get to the book of 1 Peter tonight, the book of 1 Peter. And we are wrapping up. Remember that the theme of the book is the glory of the sanctified stranger. As we walk with the Lord, we are a stranger in this world. The stranger's life is consumed with why he became a stranger, all right? Rejoicing in our salvation, of where he's going as a stranger, the hope of heaven. So consequently, because of why we're a stranger, because we're saved, because of where we're going as a stranger, we're not a citizen of this world, we're a citizen of heaven. Therefore, we need to concern ourselves with how to live as a stranger here on earth. And so that's what the book's about, how to live as a stranger. If you're on the back side of your notes already, we're all the way down to chapter 4 is where we're going. We've seen that a stranger, that the result of your salvation is holiness and love. That's in the first couple of chapters there. And then in chapter 2 to the beginning of chapter 4, stranger, the reflection of your Savior is humility and love. Now, interesting that that love theme comes up a couple times there. Now, finally, tonight, as a stranger, and this really almost goes along with our memory verse for this week too, the remedy of your suffering is happiness. Now, that sounds like a worldly statement almost right at the beginning. But he uses the word happy in the translation here. I think it's a good word. We'll see it as we walk through the verse. So the remedy of your suffering, and in this world we're strangers, and we will be treated as weirdos, as strange. All right, so the remedy for your suffering here is happiness, humility, and hope. And so again, the theme of humility comes up from that second theme. You see these connections between all of these themes. So let's look at this, and this really is the rest of the book, essentially, except for the closing, and we'll look at that as well. Verse 12 of chapter 4, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Don't think it strange that you're facing trials, he said. Keep on going, verse 13 and 14. But rejoice. That's a connection to the word happy, by the way. So my response to the trials that I face in this life that I'm a stranger of is to rejoice. And why do I rejoice? What is the cause of my rejoicing? This is interesting. Because we often don't think of it this way, all right? The verse says it really clearly. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. You are fellowshipping, you're a fellow sufferer with Christ in this world. You're connected with Christ. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. This world's not my home. And so that I have the privilege, and we don't ever think of it that way, but that's the right way to think of it biblically according to this verse, that I have the privilege to suffer like my Savior suffered. I rejoice. That means I'm a believer. That means that the world is seeing Christ in me. And that's a blessing. Though, for the moment, it's a trial. He doesn't not call it a trial. He doesn't try to call a dog a cat here. No, it's a trial. Okay. All right. But I can still rejoice in that trial because it connects me. It makes me a partaker with Christ. And this is not the end. This world is not the end. Aren't you glad? There's something way beyond it. So that's why he says on the end of verse 13, there's a glory that's going to be revealed and that I have no clue totally about. I have what God has given us in the Scriptures and it leaves me a lot of questions but a lot of things to rejoice in. This is not the end. The Scriptures uses it for you ladies and the Scripture talks about how in a moment of birth, there's much pain for a lady. But then as soon as the birth is done and the baby's there, there's all kinds of rejoicing and the mom forgets her pain. Now, guys, we can't totally relate to that. And I'm glad you can't, all right? We're not made to do that, okay? But I think there are times where, have you been where you've had extreme, excruciating pain and then finally the pain is gone and there's that relief. And then after a while, you almost forget about what that pain was like. You just don't think about it anymore. It's something we don't really want to think about, and consequently we don't worry about it anymore. I have many moments in my life where it's like, oh, you know, it's like the pain of that, you know, the sore throat when you're starting the cold, and you're like your whole throat's on fire. and it like really, really hurts to swallow. But as soon as the cold's done, you forget about it and you don't worry about it again. And it's like, and then when the next cold comes, like, then you, okay, well, all that to say, I think we get to heaven and the brief moment of time that we suffer we'll easily forget because of the glory that we have with Jesus. And it's not that we won't begrudge Christ that He allowed us to go through that suffering. We won't go to heaven and say, I'm mad at you, Jesus, for letting me have this suffering. No, 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 no. The spirit of the believer is one to rejoice even in the midst of the suffering, knowing that there's an end. There's an end for sure. This life is really, oh, James puts it well, doesn't he? It's a vapor. It's just a vapor. It flees by, doesn't it? All you older saints that are here tonight, just yesterday you were 19, right? I mean, it really feels that way, doesn't it, in some respects? Who was I telling? I was telling my sister-in-law. Yeah, Rachel, Abby's sister. Just had her 35th birthday. Oops, I'm not supposed to say that, am I? Anyway, so she was here on Monday celebrating with us. And we were just commenting about growing older and so forth. And I said, I'm in my mid-50s, but I still, on the inside, in here, I think I still think like a, you know, like a 20-something year old. Now, I hope I'm wiser than that. I really do, and I hope I act a little smarter. But in reality, you have that energy, that excitement of life. It's still all there, even though, oh, man, you get up in the morning, all the aches and the pain is like, ah, it hurt. And it takes me forever to get settled in bed because of my shoulder hurts and all my hip hurts. Yeah, okay. Well, our suffering is going to be just like that. And one day it'll be all over. And we'll forget. And it will be a good forget. And so I rejoice in this momentary time that I'm going to be connected with my Savior in suffering. I can find His strength and hope because there's a glory that's coming. And that glory will never fade. Isn't that a blessing? Okay, that's verse 13. So verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. There's the word happy. Happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. You can partake of some of the eternal glory even now in the midst of reproach and trial. So on their part, on those that are reproaching Christ because of you, He is evil spoken of. But on your part, He is glorified. In the midst of your trial, in the midst of your reproach, glorify Christ. And how do you do that? Part of it is be happy. How to befuddle your enemy. Don't let him get you down. And in fact, we have testimony after testimony through Christian history, through our Baptist history, of martyrs and those that have been persecuted. And their tormentors, when asked, have said at times, I don't understand. That they still rejoice, even though we're just being cruel. And by the way, that testimony has been used for some to come to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Let us be that way. Okay. Now, down to verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Now, if you're suffering because of your sin, because of your disobedience to the Lord, this is not for you. Repent and get it right and accept the punishment that God has given you in your life. Okay, I'm just being blunt, but that's the truth of Scripture. If you're disobeying the Lord, this is not for you. But if you're suffering according to the will of God, you're walking with the Lord and He allows it in your life, well then, commit the keeping of your soul to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Lord, I'm yours. And trust Him with your life. Give me strength, Lord, through this trial. I've spoken with Sarah Prigge, Pastor Prigge's wife, who's dying of colon cancer up in Watertown. Over the last couple weeks, we've happened to touch base a couple times. I am telling you that she is living this out in her life right now. She has committed her soul to well-keeping by the Lord. And so you get on the phone and talk with her, and she's still rejoicing. She's still faithfully serving the Lord with everything that she has, even though her life is diminishing, and it is. That's an amazing testimony, and that's how we're supposed to do it. Okay, now, chapter 5, verse 2, we go on to really some of the walking in humility and hope as well as we face times of suffering. This is specifically speaking to the pastors. And he tells us, feed the flock of God, verse 2, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, with a humble heart. It's your calling. Do it graciously. Don't do it for your own pleasure, for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Be willing to serve the Lord that's called you to do it. Have a humble heart to serve your God, really, is the idea. Likewise, verse 5. All right, down to verse 5. Ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Mm-hmm. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Do you want God's grace in your life? What grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Have you ever heard of that acrostic? Another way to put it is God's goodness to you, though you don't deserve it. Every good gift and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow turning. James chapter 1. God is good to you, isn't He? What should my response be? Even in the midst of trials of life, humble, humility, so that I rejoice with you and I'm subject to one another. Isn't that something? Now, what does it mean to be subject to one another? That means that we're all lords here? No. No. It means we accept where God has placed us in His body and rejoice in it. I really feel it's one of my obligations as your pastor to try to do my best. Now, I feel like I fail, all right? I understand, just so you know, I still am working on this, all right? But I really strive at trying to compliment you in your roles here. You are doing things that I cannot do and shouldn't do, by the way. But that do you understand that's a reality? That's a humble statement to say, I can't do what you're doing. But that's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it? All right? There's the head. Who's the head of the church? Christ, all right? Is anybody else the head? So we get it. We submit to the head real quick. But do we show humility towards one another? Does the toe show humility towards the finger? Or the nose towards the ear? Or do we get jealous of the ear when we're the nose? All right? Or do we mock the ear when we're the nose? No, none of that. That's not being submissive to one another. Being submissive to one another is recognizing what God has done in everyone's life and rejoicing in that and aiding and helping them to do that, knowing that God is doing something unique. And then as He binds us together specifically in a local church setting, we help one another. And we rejoice in what God's doing with them and through them. I told Pat and Anna tonight, I said, I know I've told you, but I probably don't tell you enough. Thank you for working with the Highways and Hedges Ministry. I said, we live in a society, in our culture right here at Heritage Baptist Church in Roscoe, Rockton area. We got a lot of up and outers that really don't need us, they think. And here they are reaching some of the poorer folk that are ready to receive Christ. May God prosper that ministry. And may we be the people to cherish and love on them, right? Praise the Lord. God is bringing some folks in, if your antennas are up, in recent days that we can minister to. And their life isn't all put together. Some of them, I'll name specifically, Donna's granddaughter needs the Lord, and great-granddaughter. We better do all we can. We better be the people to reach out to them. Anyways, all right. So let the fingers be the fingers, the hands be the hands, all those kinds of things work together. That's being submissive to one another. In the midst of our trials in this life, as strangers, we demonstrate amazing love and subjection to one another. Okay, that's verse 5. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, complete, or fit. Establish, that is steadfast, strengthen, equip you, settle you, give you a good foundation. You see, the end of what all of this is, suffering is not just to, it's like, okay, I understand it's connecting me to Christ. But sometimes that's hard to get a hold of in the midst of the trial. And I know that heaven's out there, and I'm glad for that, but that, I still am exhausted in this trial, and that doesn't really necessarily cheer my heart. Do know that the trial does this. The trial is God working in you so that He makes you perfect or fit. He's establishing, He's making you steadfast. My wife told me today, she was listening to Sean Hannity, all right? Now, that's not in any sense an endorsement, just so you know, all right? But anyway, she was listening a little bit. And he was interviewing Herschel Walker. How many of you remember Herschel Walker? Yeah. All right. Great, amazing running back. Anyways, he still does 3,500 push-ups a day. 3,500 push-ups. I was thinking, my word, that's endurance. And my wife's the first question was, how long does that take him? I don't know. But anyway, okay. That's called being steadfast. All right? That type of endurance. God puts resistance in your life, Christian, so that He builds your spiritual muscles. Every time God puts a trial in my life, guess what happens? I do a lot of spiritual push-ups. I learn a little bit more about my God and where my strength lies. I cling to His Word more. I'm steadfast. Isn't that amazing? And those are fruits that I get to joy and rejoice in right now, right here. So, perfect, steadfast, strengthen, or the idea is equip, give me all the tools that I need. There's scripture that I know now that I didn't know before a trial. But that are cherished, that I cling to and hold to through the trials. And then, of course, settle you. Give you a foundation that you're sturdy, you're well planted. It reminds me of having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The idea that I'm sturdy and well-founded so as the attacks come, I don't stumble, fall, and get knocked over. What a blessing that God, in the midst of our trials and our suffering, gives us all of those things that I can rejoice in and fill and be tangible with. That's a blessing. So then he says farewell. And there's verses 12 to 14. He's written by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written, briefly exhorting and testifying that it is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. In the midst of our suffering, we stand in God's grace. So the church that is in Babylon, remember we talked about that already, probably Rome. Yes, the height, the picture of that which resists God. All right, the church is in Babylon, elect together with you, saluteth you. So doth Mark, as my son. Another mention of Mark, John Mark, who had failed for a while, but God brought him back and used him greatly. Greet you one another with a kiss of charity. So no holy kisses tonight. Tonight, kisses of charity as you leave here, okay? Yeah, thank you for laughing, a couple of you. Thank you, okay? Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus, all right? A good handshake of charity. Let us demonstrate love to one another as we together walk through this veil of suffering. And it's a part of our life. But you're a stranger, and that's okay, because you've got, you know where you're going, you know where you got on, all right, where you got saved, and you know how you ought to live. So there's 1 Peter for you. Now I encourage you, there's so much there, you can go back through and study and dig in and enjoy. I trust it'll be a precious book as you hit it again in your own daily devotion. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word and Lord, how it just hits us right where we live. Thank you for Peter, a man who suffered much for your name and yet could, what appears to be near the end of his life, write with amazing joy and sturdiness, knowing that he'd been redeemed, so he was made a stranger. Knowing that as a stranger he has a new home that he's looking forward to. But knowing that you're with him in the midst of these trials, reproaches, sufferings. And that you're growing him in the midst of that. Lord, help us to follow his example. And help us this week, even in the midst of trials that we may face, to grow in you. We need you. We need your help. In your name we pray. Amen. Trust you have a good rest of the week. Again, if you want to help on Saturn, you can let me know. That'd be great.